good looking. No? Oh, she's so beautiful. Or he's so good looking. You know, he's so buff. Whatever. Okay. Sense of humor, you know? I think that girls like guys with sense of humor. You know, lighthearted. And you know, guys like girls who are really fun. You know, that kind of thing. Has that really cute girls or, you know, things like that. Also, competency and strength, you know. Especially, I think, with women, I think we like people that are competent, men that are competent and that seem very strong. Those are really a general attraction. But, you know, we cannot discount that because I think in this day and age, the whole sense of attraction is really perverted, okay? There's so much lust and so much things that are of the world that filtered into what it means to be attracted woman and man. And I think we as Christians, I think we need to regain this through from the studies and scriptures to understand what it means to be feminine, what it means to be masculine, what it means to be masculine and kingly, you know. I think that is really something that we need to regain and not see it from media. But there's also specific attraction. For example, my husband and I, we are very similar background. We grew up, later found out. So we went to UC Berkeley together. And we found out we were going to the same church. And there was one time that my parents came to visit me and his parents came to visit me. And then, lo and behold, this is before we started going out, my parents knew each other. Matter of fact, my grandmother was the one who was a deaconess in the same church in Korea that visited my mother-in-law when she had my husband. The first visitor to come and visit was my grandmother, you know. So it was just like amazing thing that the circumstances that happened, you know. But anyway, so we had a very similar background. We had a very similar spiritual experiences. Like, when he was telling me his spiritual experience and how God worked in his life, it wasn't strange to me because there was something so familiar. I understood what he felt. I understand what he was going through. So there was that similarity. And also, I think what plays is social compatibility and our family values really plays, I think, some key role in areas in which where we are very specifically attracted to that person. All those things comes out into being, you know, that you being attracted to a certain person. I don't know, do you kind of agree on that? I mean, do you think so? Right? You're attracted to people that you feel very familiar. You feel like, hey, you know, I think I really know this person. I think I know what he's talking about. Or, yeah, I understand what the kind of experience that he had. And I had similar kind of experiences. So those kind of things, it draws us to be able to be interested in this person. Okay, so I think chemistry. Yeah, don't discount chemistry, guys. It's great, good thing, you know, to be attracted to your mate. You know what? My husband and I, we still are attracted to each other. We're not attracted to anyone else, but, you know, like, hey, you know, you still attracted to me. I mean, in the beginning, it was like, yeah, you're attractive, young person. But then as you get older, and as I have 1, 2, 3 children, I'm so grateful that my husband is still attracted to me. But that kind of attraction is very necessary in a relationship, in a marriage. And I think that we need to, I know that I take a note of really making myself as a, you know, as a woman, as a mom, or as a, you know, as a pastor or those kind of things. That's, you know, that is something, that's my identity. But I think more than anything, I think the Lord has given me, you know, identity as a woman, as a daughter. And that kind of beauty that comes from being a woman, I think it needs to be kept up as time goes. And, you know, I don't just let myself go, you know. I'm always shocked when I go to parent meetings. Like, I think they're much older than me, but I find out that they're younger, you know. Okay, let me not go there. But but I really feel that is part of what it means to have a healthy relationship and to really, God's desire is that, you know, God is all into beauty. I mean, He created beauty, right? And I think as a woman, we need to be beautiful. And not physically, maybe, but there is a beauty in the wholeness, you know, as we become more mature, our physical beauty, you know, goes more inwardly. But, you know, I really think that, I really believe that. Me and my sister, you know, we have this thing that we're so happy because our husbands still desire us. You know, we were talking about, I visited my sister in Seattle. And we, you know, like, she's 2 years younger than me. I mean, you know, we're older, ajummas. How do you translate that? Old woman. Okay, old woman. So, you know, we talk about a lot of things. But then I think the thing that we're really, I think that one of the things that I'm very proud of is that our husbands are still very attracted to us. And I think that as a young woman, you know, the attraction, the attractiveness has to be developed. And as a man, the kingliness, the regal, being having that kind of quality in a man, I think is very, very important. So, okay, so enough of chemistry. Okay, the second, I believe, after, okay, well, she's attractive and he's the man, right? So what's the second step after the attraction? It's I believe that you need to look into a core value. Matter of fact, the whole is not separate from what we believe. What I believe strongly about things, and I think it goes beyond just, is like, you know, are you a Christian or not? I believe that there is more to a core value than that. Is But again, is your core value biblical or is it from a pop culture? Okay. For example, core value was that I believe that when I had the encounter with God, for me, that I had a calling, that I was really headed toward ministry, full-time ministry. So for me, my core value is that, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all those things will be added unto you, you know. And I think that the thing that I was really attracted about my husband was that his core value and my core values were same. So because of that, that even though all these things happen in our lives, that we're still very anchored and centered because we believe the same thing, okay? So what is your core value? Is it something that is, like, again, is it from pop culture or is it really biblical core value? And I think that determines the attractiveness. Also, there's a supernatural conviction. The third C is conviction, okay? The conviction is not something that, you know, it is something that you really like, it's something that is logical. I think conviction comes, like, you know, my husband said that he was walking around and all of a sudden he heard a voice that, it's Jenny, right? Okay. I didn't hear that. I didn't hear, it's Seokwon. But as he, you know, proposed to me that night, I had the strangest thing, and I, to this day, I would never have said it. I would have never had said it because of my pride. But I know it was from the Lord. It was a conviction. And that was, and I said in response to him that I feel that God is saying that you are the one. That, you know what I said? I said, you know, I feel that God's going to use you in a great way, and I feel I'm not worthy. In my right mind, I would never say that, you know, because of my pride. But that, it was the conviction. It was almost kind of deep, something that came out of me that I feel that he is the one. He is the one that I respect, and I believe that it was from the Lord. So God's going to create these kind of circumstances. So you need to be discerning and know, understand that God is, you know, these kind of things, like the people that you meet, the relationships that you have, you know, don't just think it is so random. But really pray about, you know, Lord, why am I here? Why am I in this kind of circumstances? You know, what about, you know, who are these people that you have given me in relationship? So I think that kind of, when you start praying and when you start being sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, then you begin to understand that it's not just random, but God has a plan, and he puts you into this kind of community and this kind of circumstances, okay? But so the third question, so the how do you know that he or she is the one? First, chemistry. Second, that do you have a core value? Third is conviction, right? And, I, you know, people ask, what about character and all those kind of things? I think that those things is included in core value, you know. Okay, so the other question is, how do you date well? Okay, how do you date well? I think there's also three C's. First, I think there's I think you need to communicate well in your dating. Admit how you feel. The reason why that people cross that boundary in the process of dating is because, like I mentioned before, you know, it's really about repressing your sexual libido, right? Libido. It's about repressing it and saying that, I can't do this. We can't do this. We can't, you know, those kind of things. But I think what God wants us to do is that God wants to, for us to be able to communicate in intimacy without physical touch at this time. Okay? Do you guys understand what I'm saying? You know, I've been married for 25 years. Okay? You know, I struggle so much in this area of communication. Because I think it's so easy for a married couple, for living together for so long, to express intimacy in a physical way, in a sexual way, right? But when you get into that situation, that especially I think as a woman, you'll never be truly fulfilled. You never truly experience the intimacy. So I think this actually is speaking more for a woman than men at this stage. But when you might ask yourself, why isn't there more information about dating in the Bible? Did you ever wonder about that? Can you give me an example of dating in the Bible? No? Right? Because in the Bible, biblical times, in Jesus' times, that there is no such thing as dating. It's a recent phenomenon. It's 20th century phenomenon, actually. It's like, you know, some of you guys been dating for like 3 years, 5 years. How can you stand it? I'm telling you, it's not easy. It's unnatural. That's why it's not in the Bible. Because dating, actually, how do you date well? Actually, is the question itself doesn't exist if you're thinking about biblical answers. It always leads to marriage. So the second one, I think, is commitment. How do you date well? If you don't have commitment in that dating, I think that it really is really meeting your needs, lonely needs. It's not about, you know, leading to marriage. So I think that commitment is a very important factor in how do you date well. A third thing is, it's kind of like related to communication, and that is that, you know, a lot of times the Christians, we don't date as, we're so caught up in doing the right thing that we have repressed this natural sense of joy and intimacy. So the reason why I say that creativity and communication is so important is that you can't separate it. So I think it's the lazy people, lazy couples that really gets into problems, you know. It's so easy to get involved physically because you don't take the time to learn how to be intimate at this stage to communicate in an intimate way, in a creative way, you know. And so I think that one of the challenges that I have for you guys is, especially men, is that really, how do you date better than people of the world? You know, how do you have more fun as a Christian than, and I think that the answer really lies on this generation, that you guys are the ones. You need to be creative. You can't be lazy about it, you know, or else you fall into the same sin the rest of the world will. So how do you date well? You date with communication, being able to communicate intimately at this stage without physical involvement, have a sense of commitment, and be creative. Okay? Okay, so it's not about repressing the sexual libido, but redirecting it in a creative way, okay? But I'm not going to tell you what that creative way is because I don't know. It's something that you need to pray through and you need to work together as a couple to be able to communicate. This is how I feel. This is how I feel about you. But, you know, let's find a way. Let's really drop the boundaries and let's be able to work this thing together, you know. So don't be lazy about it. Okay. Do you know what I'm saying? Does this make sense? Right? Okay. All right. So with that, there are a lot of questions, you know. Like, for example, how do you, you know, turn down a brother or sister who confess an interest in you. You know, I think that, you know, it's okay to, you know, when you feel like the relationship is not the right one, it's okay to break up. Except that I think there has to be really in your heart that there will not be a bitter root, you know, the bitterness that you hold. And if you have had relationships, if you cross that boundary, what do you do? Make sure you don't do it again, you know? Make sure that there is a repentance. And like I mentioned before, when we have physical relationship, this kind of relationship goes deep, you know? Not just emotional level, but in a physical level that we are bound together. So you need to be set free before you go move on to a next relationship. And if, as a couple, even if you are going toward marriage, so it is very tempting, you know, like, okay, you know, none of this group dating now. I am serious about her. She's going to be my wife. I know she's going to be my wife, and we're going to get engaged and get married. Soon as we think that, what happens? We fall into temptation. It's so easy for us to think, well, she's mine anyway. Well, it's okay. He's going to be my husband anyway. They fall into that kind of temptation of physical involvement. Now, that is really unfortunate, but so many people have experienced this kind of things. And a lot of times, you know, we see people having to get abortions, pregnancies occur. And also, not only that, but in the future, there's a lot of mistrust. The trust factor is gone when you cross that boundary because it is not within the principle, God's principle. So we have to take it very seriously and communicate. Yeah, you know, I really feel that, you know, that you are mine and I feel like I have rights over you, but we're not married. And God honors the office of marriage, you know. And he doesn't want us to go break the principle and the law that he has created, which is marriage. So honor your marriage bed, you know. And with women, I think it's really especially important that we recognize this, that a lot of time the men have a really hard time in this area, even though no matter how godly you know, he has his right values and everything. I think it is really, and I hate to say this, really, and I don't want to belittle my brothers here, but in a practical way, I see from a lot of doing numerous amount of premarital counselings and, you know, crisis counselings and all those kind of things, I see that it really is a lot of times that you women, sisters, you have to be the guardian of this situation. And it's better for us to talk about it, you know, rather than all of a sudden that, it, you know, it hits us from the left field. So just know that. I mean, it's good to have that commitment, go toward marriage. But with that, you know, there will be a time of temptation that we really need to be careful. Because if you truly want to keep yourself pure before the Lord and righteous and have the robe of righteousness about you, then God will reward you in a numerous way in your marriage. And I've seen, you know, my church that I attend is like yours, except our young adults grew and most of them are married. So we have a lot of married English-speaking people. And I was able to see their progress. And really, truly, the couples that have really honored each other in this area, I see that they don't carry some of the unnecessary baggages. So I can't emphasize this more. But if you did cross that boundary, I believe that there is God's grace. And rather than trying to ignore it or try to downplay it, I think it is best to confront this. If you're still going out with the same person that you had the physical relationship with, I think it is very important for you to pray together and to really forgive each other and really break any kind of strongholds that came in of mistrust and shame and anger and all those kind of things that came in. So that is my advice to you. What if your parents don't support your choice? You know, we're supposed to honor your mom, but you know what the Bible says? Honor your mom and dad in the Lord, right? Is your mom and dad downright ungodly? In terms of their opposition to your relationship? Is it about tradition, keeping tradition, saving face, or any kind of like selfish reasons? Or is it really genuinely that they know you? They may know you more than you know yourself. That maybe they have something, that they know something about you that, you know, that you're blindsided with. You need to honor your parents, even if you do not agree with them, you know. The Bible says, honor your parents in the Lord. So do the right thing in the Lord. If you genuinely feel that this brother and sister is it, that is the person that God has given you, and your parents, the only reason they have is, he's not Chinese. Like, she's Korean. Okay, you need to marry a Chinese guy or Chinese girl. Or, like, you could say, oh, you know, there she's really, you know, maybe like another background. It's not good enough for my child. You know, that kind of selfish reasons, okay? Well, the Bible said honor your parents, but honor your parents in the Lord. So what is your value? Is it, you know, is it from a, is your parents speaking from selfishness? And you kind of know, right? Or are they really genuinely concerned because they know you, okay? So you need to discern those things when you make your choices. But I think that you could still, even though you disagree with your parents, I think you could still honor them. You know, I think you don't have to do it your way. Like I, recently, this Taiwanese brother in our church married Cambodian girl, Cambodian American girl. Okay, well, his parents just had a cow. I mean, it's like, you know, no way, Jose. You're not marrying her, okay? And the reasons that they gave was really a very selfish one, actually. Social status, finances, looking at their parents and those kind of things. But, you know, actually, they just went ahead and got married anyway. But what I felt was that they could disagree with your, you know, their parents, because obviously it's kind of not a good reason. But I think they could have done it differently. I think they could have honored their parents, and the parents ended up not coming to their wedding. What a horrible thing, right? You don't have a blessings of your own parent. So I think that as Christians, we need to be wise, but to know that it is not, you know, the your parents are not the ultimate voice in your decision. You are an adult. You know, some of you guys really are still so tied with your parents. You guys are, you know, you feel what they feel. You care so much about what they think. You know, you need to break it away. The Bible said, leave your parents, leave your father's house. You need to move on. Okay? Make sense? Make sense? Okay. Are you guys okay? Falling asleep? Is this interesting and relevant? Okay. All right. I like interaction. Yeah. Sure. Well, I'll answer the second question first. The second question was, you know, what does it, okay, so you disagree with your parents, but I said you could still honor. There's a way in which that you could still honor your parents. So how do you do that, right? I think, your parents could disagree with you until you die. I mean, it's not like you're going to convince them, right? But I think it's about really having a clear conscience, you know. Have I done all that I can to honor my parents?
So in that specific yeah. situation, you felt that they didn't really...
Yeah, I feel like they could have waited. Right, right, exactly. Yeah, I feel like you can't just, you know, says dishonor by just saying, oh, forget you. You know, I'm going to do whatever I want. I don't think that honors. I think because it's a matter of the heart. It's not about right or wrong, but it's my heart right with God in terms of my relationship with my parents. Am I really leaving them in the cold, or have I really, I believe this is right. This is a conviction. But have I done everything I can in my heart that I don't have bitterness or anger and unforgiveness toward my parents. You have to make your heart right, or else that it's going to affect your marriage, right? So does that answer your question? Okay, the first question was group dating, right? I mean, but okay. Okay, I like this interaction. So if you guys have questions, you know, like I told you, I don't have all the answers. Okay, I got married when I was 21. You know, so you have to understand that I never dated. but I think. You know, it's a very important question. It's a very relevant question. Like, how do you go from group dating to all of a sudden marriage? You know, like, how do you have that intimacy with that person? I think that, group...
Right, what is group dating?
You guys corner me. My gosh.
It's sort of you only hang out it's never together, and it's like the courtship thing where you have like a chaperone or something? Or
okay. Okay, Mike has an answer.
You need a third wheel, basically. Wingman. Yeah, wingman or wingwoman.
I mean, that's okay, but right. If you
that's
have
a group date, okay?
Right.
Thanks, Mike.
Really? I mean, or maybe you have four. Maybe you have another extra set, or maybe something that's okay. But at the same time, how do you become? You know what I mean? Like, if you're always in a group, and I feel like people always think you should be at church and hanging out, then how do you actually grow the intimacy with just, you know?
Okay. Be creative. Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
Some examples then, Will. What about some examples?
Okay. I think I mentioned that in the Bible, there's no such thing as dating, right? It's a kind of a 20th century, 21st century phenomena. And the reason why is because obviously we're not built, we're not made to date without going into a commitment, marriage. So in this day and age, how does that pan out? I mean, how does that, you know, in a situation, in this church, how does it, you know, how do you handle that? Frankly, I think my experience is very limited in this area. I think you guys probably know situations more than we do. But in my days, I think that when we have a situation where, you know, that you have an interest in someone, okay, for example, you know, that I'm interested in Nate, right? Okay. Now, real life example, I'm interested in Nate. Okay, and I mean, obviously he's handsome, and you know, he's gifted, and he's, you know, just he's like the catch, right? The man. Okay, and so like I'm interested. He's attracted to, you know, I'm attracted to that person. So what happens next? You know, I think that it's important to start. Really thinking of praying about this person and to see if if God gives me a peace in my heart about this person. So when I start praying, I think that I believe that God will create a situation where that there is a more opportunity to get to know this person, or I will create an opportunity to get to know this person, right? Or something like that. I think that it will go toward that direction. That's what happened to my husband and I. We were always together. We didn't mean to be, but somehow, because of our core values, because of our interest, a similar interest, that we were always doing similar activities. And I think that that is really not only natural, but it's supernatural. I believe that that kind of attraction or that kind of heart that God gives. So when you start doing that, you will have an opportunity to observe that person. And it's at this point, I believe that you need to be, you need to realize that that long-term dating is not really biblical. It's not something that we could handle as a sexual being, you know. And so I think that there has to be in my heart, do I know, am I ready? You know, I ask myself, am I ready? Am I really ready to make a commitment or to have this kind of relationship? If I feel I'm ready, then I'm going for it, right? And I think in that case, Nate is all happy, smiling. He just he can't contain himself, okay? This is just an example, Nate, okay? So, but he is the man. I love Nate, okay? All right, so, we're like, okay, so I am interested in this person, and I'm praying for this person, and it seems like our values are right, you know? And I'm very comfortable with myself. I think it's ready for for a next step, next phase. So what's the next phase? What goes beyond? I think I like you, you know. I think the next step is I think I love you, you know. But how do you get to that? How do you do that? I think it's even at that stage. I think too much of one-on-one dating. I mean, there could be some opportunities, but I believe that it has to be in a physical intimate kind of situation. So I think my feeling toward Nate is stronger and stronger, and that we're getting, you know, more intimate in terms of like, yeah, I think, you know, yeah, you are you taking that class? Maybe I'll take it too. Or, you know, like, yeah, you know, are you going to that concert? Okay, well, what is that? Stormy? Who's the... So anyway, somebody that my sister likes. No. It's a Christian. Never mind. Anyway, so okay, we're going to the same concert. There's, you know, these kind of opportunities, right? So you get getting to know that person in the context of these group activities. But I don't. I believe that the friendship. This is a time where friendship, communication. Can occur. Just because you do one-on-one, it doesn't mean you're dating, right? You could do one-on-one without dating. Dating in a sense like you don't get into this physical romantic relationship. You know, that dating concept nowadays is so corrupted, okay? I mean, I say boo to dating. You know, like, really, it's sick. You know, when I see television nowadays and really see what people think of dating, it's really sickness, you know? And so I think about, when I think about dating, I my husband and I, he was always coming over to my house, actually. Why? Because he wanted to eat. You know, we're all starving students at the time. And I was a great cook, you know, so like we always had guys over, you know, like these poor starving guys. Okay, I'm sorry. Well, and I used to work part time. I used to wonder why all my money's, you know, disappearing. It's because I was feeding these like four or five guys all the time. So they used to come over, and he was one of those guys, you know, that used to come over all the time and cook and ate. So it was like such an opportunity for us to get to know each other. It was very intimate setting, actually. Like, we had late night, you know, talks. We stayed up till 2, 3, but we were not alone, you know. So I think, in a way, that is group dating. I wouldn't call it dating, necessarily, but it's an activity that, you know, promotes intimacy, right? Does that make sense? Don't you think we could do that, right? And but then you go beyond that stage, you know. Okay, all right. Okay, I don't know if we're gonna have enough time for like group activities. After I say I love you, Nate. I love you, brother. What happens? You know. I believe that in that that I love stage, you know, Now, you have to remember that I'm talking about deep-spirited friendship that we have. It's not out of my emotional need. I'm so lonely. Nate, can you come over? You know, like, can you be my boyfriend? You know, it's not that kind of stuff, right? It's not out of my need or my or reaction, but it's really out of, you know, I think I could spend the rest of my life with this person. I think that we have core values. We have similar spiritual experiences. We like each other. There's a chemistry going on here, you know. It's so thick, you know. But so we're like, hey, you know, there's no reason for me to wait, right? So we have this kind of relationship that we express, that communicated. You know, I think you're the one, you know. My husband says, you know, I could marry so-and-so. I could marry so-and-so, but I think you're the one. I should have said, forget you. But I was too nice at the time. And and no, he's wrong. I didn't say yes right away. I mean, like, come on. Well, that's his version. It's a little hazy on that. But I did say yes. After a while, because after he proposed, you're like we saw each other again many times, but he didn't say anything to me after that. It's like as if he never asked me the question. So I was like, wait a minute, did you ask me to marry you? So it was, I think it was like maybe a couple of days later or 20, I don't know. He says it's 24 hours. I just, okay, yeah, 24 hours. But I did say yes. I did say yes, and I did answer him. Anyway, what was my point? Okay, thank you. Yeah, there has to be kind of... Huh? What? Whoa! Okay. All right. Let's be nice. Let's be nice, guys.
I didn't know that everybody, this was very common knowledge.
No, actually, that's a really excellent question because, you know, how do you go from group dating to all of a sudden have that intimate whatever? But I think like our case, you know, we did group date. You know, we did group date in a sense that we did a lot of things, a lot of activities together. We went concerts together. We did Bible studies together. We, you know, we ministered together. I know that sounds maybe like too, wow, they're so spiritual. But we also had like, you know, he owed me dinners because he ate at my house all the time. You know, so we went out together, but, you know, not dating, you know, that kind of stuff. So we did have spent time alone. And then all of a sudden, he came to me and popped the question, right? So I think it's like that. It's not, you know, like, oh, bam, God hit me, Jenny's the one. But it was all those things that led up to that final conviction that Jenny is the one, you know. For me, 24 hours later, yeah.
How long do y'all hang out?
Are you from South?
Yeah. I'll talk loud enough, but I'm not like jumping in. I'll get it. Is this working? Hello?
Yes.
All right. How long do y'all hang out for all this went in?
Hang out?
Oh, you know, the Bible studies and the movies and all that.
Well, now we're getting really specifics. Okay. We knew each other for like, we knew each other for about 2 years. 2 years before he popped the question. Yeah. He had a girlfriend before me. Okay. And he had two girlfriends before me, actually. And I never had a boyfriend, you know. So I was the good girl. But, like he said, he knew that this girl was not the one. The funny thing is, I'm such a counselor that I ended up counseling his ex-girlfriend, you know. I used to take her to my parents' house, and we had spent time together. This is before I dated him. No, this is after they broke up, and that was that during time. I didn't know I was going to marry him. You know, that would be weird if I knew that, but, you know. So It was kind of interesting things that happened. So I was really, I think that's why that we feel really comfortable. We feel confident and comfortable enough that we knew it's from the Lord, so that we were not, you know, we didn't have a lot of baggages about our past relationships or jealousies or comparison, that kind of stuff. So that's why, it, once again, it's so important for us to end well without bitter roots, without, you know, this soul ties, what ifs. Like, what if I did this? Now, a man and woman relationship, man breaks up with a girl because the girl was not happy with the man and what he was doing and all those kind of things. And then he actually broke up. And then later she's saying, what if I did this better? What if I said this? What if, you know, this didn't happen? All these what ifs, all these regrets, you know. A lot of times girls go through that. Like, I wanted to hold on. I mean, I didn't like what he was doing, but I still... And it, if you are going through those kind of things, actually know that you're... It's really about your need. It's about you. It's not about that person. And you need to cut it off. Cut it off so you can move on. Because relationship becomes unhealthy. Even after you break up, if you don't break up well, then you'll just drag on and on and on. Okay? So, okay. Any more questions before? It's just like, I'm going to take one question before we go into groups. Okay, nobody has questions? Like, you're dying to ask, but you're too afraid?
So, after Pastor Bob proposed to you, so you prayed about it and God spoke to you, or?
Okay, so did everybody hear her?
No.
Okay.
I just wanted to know, after Pastor Bob proposed to Jenny, Pastor Jenny, like, because you said you had not heard. So after that, you prayed about it and God spoke to you, or how did he confirm that in your heart?
Actually, I knew the moment he proposed to me, because again, this is when God convicts you, I believe it's not just you he convicts, but it's like when God was convicting Seokwan, my hubby, he was known as Romy Oh. His last name is Oh, right? He called himself Romy. So bad. So this is what I had to put up with. You know, this is the maturity level that I... Anyway, you know, I was in love with him for a long time before that. And, you know, like, I really did like him because of all the wrong reasons. I like his strength, his leadership, his, you know, he's very philosophical. And at the time at Berkeley and, you know, in the late 70s, 80s, you know, it was the cool thing to have long hair, you know, don't take shower. He was a philosophy major, okay? And so, you know, it was a cool thing, and a lot of girls liked him, right? So I was just like one of those, you know, like, oh, you know, he's really cool. I think he's very attractive. But I went through this whole thing, you know, of really having to let go of things that were, it was almost like that he was constantly on my mind. Very infatuated stage for me. Hello? Oh. This way? Okay. Okay. Yeah, so you know, there was a secret admiration that I had, you know, which I never told him. You know, even to this day. You know, I don't really admit it, but I did have that kind of crush on him. But really, I went through that whole process of being very lonely, very needy, really just, you know, constantly having that kind of thoughts. And you know what? God set me free from that. You know, honestly, it was that I found something better than him, which is Jesus Christ. And, you know, that sounds cliche, but really it was truly a moment in which that I was set free from all things, including men. That I was only like, you know, 19 or 20. Actually, I was 20 at the time. But, you know, I think it was then that I knew I was ready, you know. But it wasn't about me being ready for marriage. I really thought I was too young. You know, weren't thinking about those kind of things. But, you know, he was 2 years he's 2 years younger than me. He's 19, I'm 21, and he proposes to me. You know, at that time, how do I know I was ready? How do I know he was the one? How do I know that this is going to lead to marriage? All those things. I didn't know, but I had a conviction that there was a peace in my heart that he was the one. So it was more of like that kind of supernatural thing that I'm telling you about. That it's not about, you know, your head knowledge. And I tell you all these things that, you know, things you need to do, consider and care for and all those things. But when it comes really down to it, God gives you kind of undeniable conviction. Hello? Okay. So I'm going to, I'm going to end. Oh, yes, one more question.
I think I have to ask a question, because in our house church, we're actually exploring dating. And obviously, we're going through a process called the Ten Commandments of Dating. And we've been having some very interesting discussion. One of the chapter of the book is exploring about being equally yoked. I think you covered that, about core values. However, something a little bit controversial here, because we are a small church. And obviously we have values and so forth, but a lot of questions were about, is it okay to date a non-Christian, right? And I just wanted you to elaborate a little bit on that, because you mentioned core values, biblical and or pop culture. So if you can just elaborate a little bit.
Well, what does the Bible say?
No, the Bible said you shouldn't, but I just want you to...
Yeah.
No.
The Bible doesn't say you shouldn't date a non-Christian. The Bible says you shouldn't marry a non-Christian.
Yeah. I think it's really about... I know that is a very sensitive subject, because it's not... When you're not involved emotionally, it seems so clear. Of course, I'm a Christian. I can't marry a non-Christian. But when you're involved emotionally with someone, you know, it's almost like taking power of your way when you're attracted to that person. You know, it's very difficult. I believe that, you know, the Lord reigns on whether you're on that person, whether you're a Christian or not Christian. I believe that we are all made in the image of God. We have all the capacity to come to know Him. And it really is, you know, God desires mercy and grace on our heart. So I think I would say that as a principle, yeah, we're not supposed to be unequally yoked. And I think the Bible is pretty clear about that. Even the historical, you know, when God has a certain people that he desired to bring together, you know, I think that when, you know, in Abraham's case or, you know, we see that our forefathers, you know, if they marry someone outside of God's will or God's community, what happens is that there's always a consequences, you know, negative consequences, you know. So I think when you said, okay, you know, the Bible doesn't say do not date non-Christians. It says that do not be yoked. In a way, it doesn't say those kind of things at all. It doesn't say marry another Christian, or it really talks about when we're talking about unequally yoked, means that you're not in the same place spiritually, emotionally, your core value, you know. So are you ready to marry someone? If you're dating, if you're a Christian, and if you're serious about your faith and you're serious about your values, are you ready to marry that non-Christian person? And I think that you have to ask yourself, am I ready to marry anybody? You know, do I really know who I am? Or am I kidding about my faith? Or am I really not serious about, you know, do I need a spirited friend? Or do I need someone that really is compatible emotionally, physically, but is my spirit compatible with that person? So you have to ask those kind of things. I mean, it's good to have these principles and rules, but we need to be sensitive. Is my heart in the right place with God? Is my heart tender and is willing and to be open to really ministering to people? But, you know, I do not believe in mission dating or, you know, that kind of things. I think that's wrong. I mean, that's you're deceiving yourself, you know. But anyway, does it seem okay? I answered you? Okay.
So, Jenny, you said that you had, you know, kind of feelings for Robert before he actually said you're the one. Do you recommend that the women wait for the guys to initiate?
Why are you guys asking these questions? I mean, it's like I'm an old lady, you know? It's just, okay, you guys know yourself. I mean, I think, frankly, you know what? I think that's just, I think women have more ways than one to let them know that they're attracted. to a brother, you know? I think for me, it was cooking for my husband or for my Romeo, you know? It's like, you know, just, yeah, you know, like he feel very comfortable hanging out at our house. And I think if he wasn't attracted to me, I don't think he would have, you know? And so there is that kind of thing, a sense that you have that, you know, I mean, a lot of people, you know, when we like someone, we could kind of fool ourselves to think that, oh, that person may be interested in me, that kind of thing. That's why you need to pray. And that's why I think it is good for us to have mentors to help us discern. Because when we're emotionally involved, it's really hard. But I think, like, for women, I think, I don't know how men like assertive woman or aggressive woman or a woman that say, hey, you know, like I like you, that kind of thing. Or I don't know how, I think men are much more traditional than we think that they are even in this day and age. But I don't believe, like, you know, they say, well, women are the flower and men are the bees, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, like, flowers don't move, so you just stay put. And, you know, like, you know, let the bees do all the work and stuff like that. I think that's not true. I think if you really like someone, you could do something about it. You know, you could, you know, make yourself more attractive or let them know. So that's my answer. I don't know if that's satisfying, but that's all I have. Okay, now, finally, okay, get into your groups.